And this song was sung to those thousands of Israel that would suffer the pain and the heartache of betrayal and the pain and the heartache of uncertainty. And in you and I too, we have it too. There's times we feel lonely. There's times that we are alone in this world, although God is with us. There's times that things happen in us and our families that are uncertain, and we don't know what's going to happen. The outcome is, well, it's just not known, and we have to have faith. See, David, he went the journey through fear and anger to the place of faith. And that's what we have to do in our lives. The Bible here calls it a maskel psalm. And there's several that have this title to them, and it comes from the word meaning to engrave or to sculpt. It means to take something and make something out of it that others could see and know and learn and be taught by. And God is writing this and giving us this word to preserve it in our hearts, never to be forgotten, forever to be written upon our hearts and our lives, to understand the lessons that are taught here. Then he uses the word neganoth or negnoth, as some call it. That simply means smitings. Smitings. And someone would buffet you and over and over and smite you over and over and over. David was overwhelmed here. He was oppressed. He had been betrayed not only by Absalom, but by his trusted counselor, his best friend. Abimelech had turned against, or excuse me, Ahithophel had turned against him. This was his friend, his counselor. Someone that he gave his intimate thoughts to. And he had betrayed him. He'd sided with Absalom in 2 Samuel 16 and 17. And David was tired of the persecution. He was tired of the heartache. He was tired of the fight. And I don't know about you, I've been there too. Tired of the fight. Tired of seeing death. Tired of seeing sickness. Tired of seeing those I love hurt. And David was the same way here. And David was tempted to give up, to run away, to throw in the towel. And I know there's people here, you've been the same way. Why live? And the Bible says that David talked about that and he thought about that. He was pressed almost out of measure, as Paul said, by the things that had happened to him. Some of them his own fault, but some of them not. The Bible goes and talks about it, and it had passed beyond David's control. And when it passed beyond David's control, David wised up, and he flung himself into the arms of God. I don't care what you're going through today. You need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to say, God, here it is. As the song said, we need to allow God to have his way in our heart, to trust him, have faith and believe. And that is exactly what David did. You notice what he said. He said, oh, that I could fly away. I want to get out of this place. I want to leave this place. I'm sick and tired of the battle, sick and tired of the war that's constantly going on. I've never been betrayed by a close member of my family. I have by a friend. And there is nothing that hurts any deeper than that. And David had been betrayed here, and he said this in the verses here. He said, oh, that I could fly away. Oh, that I could have wings like a dove. For then I would fly away from this mess. And he said, I would be at rest. I want you to understand his heart. Don't leave it. Verses 4 and 5. A heart sore pained within me. Horror hath overwhelmed me. Now that is speaking inside of David. David is referring back to the time that he sinned with Bathsheba and he took her husband and murdered him. That still, though forgiven, still weighed on David's mind and his heart, and it would until the day he died. He was forgiven, yet he was broken. And he looked back on that with horror in his eyes and his heart. That he could do that to someone or to his God. My goodness. He said, I wish I could fly away. There are those here today that you're thinking about the past, something that has happened, and things that you would undo if you could, but you can't. And though forgiven, it's still a burden to you. It still hurts you. And it pulls you back. David said, I wish I could fly away from that. I can't. There's things in our present that we deal with, that we fall to, that we hurt with, as David did. It's bringing hurt to you. Maybe family, maybe friends. It may be something that you have done yourself. And it's pulling you down, discouraging you, making you weak unto God. And David knows how you feel. I know how you feel. The Bible said that we've all faced the same things. And even Jesus himself took everything that we would ever face, yet he did it without sin. He overcame it. And because he overcame it, we can. David is talking about that here. Fly away, he did. See, verses 1 through 8 written in the palace right before Absalom ran him off. Verses 9 through the rest of the chapter is written as he's running from Absalom. Running into the wilderness, running away from his life. Running never got anybody anywhere. It didn't get David anywhere. Because he had to go right back to the place that he left, right back to the God that he was leaving. And you and I have to do the same thing. My goodness, as we read through this chapter, the mood changes from fear to anger. And then to complete faith in God. That is where God wants you to reach in your life right now. You may have fear, unknown, uncertainty. There may be an anger that is there towards something that is without or within. You're going to have to come a little step further and accept God by faith and trust him. But David said, I'll fly away. And I want you to turn with me. One of these days, we will fly away. Can you say amen? One of these days, God's going to take us to the place that we need to be, and he's going to bless us. And I want you to turn to the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians. Now, we'll turn back for just a second, probably. But I want you to look at what God, David is talking about here. One day, you and I will literally fly away, the Bible says. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it tells us about that. And I'd like to go all the way up to verse 13, and I want to read this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I want you to understand this, to know it, to have a knowledge of it. Concerning them which are asleep, those who have died, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. The Bible said, if you have hope of this world only, you're of all men most miserable. And the Bible's saying here that we have hope. We have hope that we don't have to sorrow because of hope, because of a lack of hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus or have died in Jesus, in Christ, they're saved. Will God, notice that, bring with him. Now, if God brings these with him, it means they've already went up to be with him. Can you say amen? And there is a time coming that you and I are going to be pulled out of this earth. We're going to go to glory. The lost is going to stay and suffer the wrath of God. Can you say amen? Oh, I'm glad of that. The other day, I found some little, they were finishing nails is what they were when I built our house. I'd used them, and I had just thrown them into a container, and they had sawdust and plastic pieces and everything else in them. And I began to meticulously just pick each one of them out. The little bitty nails, you know what a finishing nail is. And I pulled it, one or two or three. I got four or five. I said, this is no good. I said, I can't do this. I was picking up as much sawdust as I did the nails. But then I had a real bright idea, which no doubt you had to start with, but I didn't. It took me a minute or two. I got a magnet. See, the magnet is the same nature as those nails. And all I did with that magnet is I just moved that magnet over that sawdust and close to it, and boy, those nails just was caught up by that magnet. And all the sawdust was still left there. I got every one of those nails. And it was so easy. See, that is what the Bible is talking about here. When Jesus Christ, those that are of the same nature that he is, when he stands on the clouds, the Bible said we're going to be caught up to meet him in glory. Can you say amen? Ought to be a hand here, a shout of what God's going to do in our hearts. See, that is what God is doing here. See, this flying away, this catching up is going to be the time that you and I look forward to. And it's worth the wait. It's worth the toll. It's worth the heartache. It's worth everything to be able to get to glory and see God again. It's worth the sickness and the death. It's worth it. And Bible says that they that went before us are going to be called back. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He's not talking about the body here. He's talking about the soul and the spirit of men that goes to be with God when the body lays down in the grave. Your loved ones and my loved ones. Jude himself, if you want to read the book of Jude, you'll find that he said, I saw God coming back, Jesus coming back with 10,000s of his saints again. For them to come back, they've got to go forward. They've got to go up. See, there's a place in the time of leaving. And I thank God for that. Verse 17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh my, no more death, no more sorrow, no more sickness. No more a presence of sin in our lives. And the Bible says here that the heaven's up. In Genesis 3, the Bible says that God went up from Abraham. The Bible tells you and I, in 1 Thessalonians 4, it tells us here that he went up. John chapter 3, Jesus came down from heaven. The Bible tells you and I in Acts chapter 1 that Jesus ascended up into the heavens. Heaven is up. People say, where's heaven? I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's in another dimension up, but it's up, and we're going to go up. They came down. The Bible says, oh, I thank God that we can know there is a heaven and we can know where heaven is. It's with God, wherever that is. But in the relationship to this earth, it's up. Now, up to the Chinese is going to be down to us. You understand that. If you can, tell me, because I don't. But it's up. And I praise God that God is going to take us up. Everything else is down. Everything that Satan has is down. Listen, we just went through Jonah. Jonah went down and down. 5 times he went down. But when he came up out of the fish and he went up to Nineveh, then God blessed him. Amen? And I like that. I praise God for that. Oh, it's a joy. I look forward to it. Some people, they say, Brother Rudy, I just like a quiet service. Then don't go to heaven. I just like it to be quiet and mellow, and I like a preacher just get behind there and just teach me. Oh, my goodness, I don't. You stir me up, amen? You stir me up. You get me excited about heaven, excited about serving the Lord, excited about those things. Listen, a lot of people say, well, Brother Rudy, I don't like emotion. God does. He made you with emotion. And I heard one guy say one time, said, Brother Rudy, I just don't shout at all. I'm just a quiet person. Then I saw him at a ball game, and he was not. As a child of God, we need to understand this is the greatest thing that'll ever happen to us. We're so tied to this world, though, we can't get excited about going up there. But the Bible says here that this flying away, it involves a place. We've got a place to go to. And the Bible says it's heaven. It's up. 1 Corinthians 2:9 said, but it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Listen, it doesn't stop there. I've heard people quote that and say, well, we can't know. Yeah, we can. The next verse says that God has revealed it to those who are literally the heirs of salvation. God showed us a little bit, amen? And boy, the part I like, it's good. It's good. Oh, my goodness. I was mowing the other day, and I got underneath a pear tree, and I pulled me a pear, and I just bit off the outside. I don't like a pear outside. I don't like that. Boy, I like that pear inside. Amen. It was delicious. I mean, it was just firm, but yet it was soft a little bit. That's like heaven, I think. Fruit's just going to be hanging there. We're going to be blessed and strengthened, and God's going to be with us. And I praise God for that. There's a man during the revival this week. The pastor said, Brother Rudy, he said, I can't wait for heaven. He said, those 12 manner of fruit, or those fruits that's on that tree, and they're going to be different. And I said, yeah. And brother, I just believe. And I said, if you read between the lines, it's going to be some Snicker bars and going to be some Three Musketeers. And I believe they're going to be all that stuff. Brother, it's going to be better than anything you can imagine. And I can imagine that. There's going to be a place that God has prepared for us. I was talking to Brother Jim, and Brother Jim promised me he would take me fishing. He didn't get to. He didn't get well enough to do it. And I told him while he's in the hospital, I said, Jim, I said, I'm holding you to that promise. He said, well, brother, I'm not going to be able to. I said, yeah, you will. I'll be with you in just a little while. And I said, if God takes you first, I may go before you. But I said, you get the boat ready. I said, we're going to go on that river of life, and we're going to go fish. And boy, he began to cry, and he raised his hands up. Listen, as a child of God, it doesn't matter what life gives you here. Thank God you got life eternal, life abundant over there. The joy that God says that we have. But this flying away involves a place, but it involves a people. Amen? Listen to what it said. Chapter 4 and verse 1 says this, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren. He wasn't talking to the human race here. He wasn't talking to those that lived a good life and died without Jesus. He was talking to those that were saved, to the brethren. I'm glad I'm a brethren, and I'm glad you're sistering to us. Amen? Praise God for what God has done. The Bible says that we are there. I want to ask you, will you be lifted up that day? You either will or you won't. You either know it or you don't. There is no half ground. There's no purgatory. There's no getting ready after you die. As the tree falls, so shall it lie. The only way that you can give your heart right is to get it right while you're alive. Trust him now. You can't trust him later. Oh, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Bible said that is that a way. We had no righteous works. We had nothing to it. We do it through him and by him only. See, there's a people that's going. I don't care how good our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren are, how good that our neighbors may be. They may be good people morally. But if they don't know Jesus, they're not going to heaven. This is prepared for a people that know him. They've prepared their hearts. They've accepted Christ and nothing else. The Bible says that they're going to heaven. I love the book of John, chapter 3, verse 36. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I believe there. I put my name there. Rudy, or I'll be Pete to it. My name in Spanish is Rodolfo. And don't you dare call me that. You'll have to give me a dollar if you do. But anyway, Rodolfo. And Rodolfo believes in Jesus Christ. And he's going to have and does have right now, present, eternal life. Can you say amen? That is what God has done for us. I know. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have given unto him against that day. Paul knew who he had believed in. He knew that he was saved. He knew that God had changed his life. And buddy, we can know. And I praise God for that knowing. This catching up, it involves a people, but it involves a person too. His name is Jesus. The Bible said in verse 16, the Lord himself. The Lord himself. It hasn't got nothing to do with you. He's the captain of our salvation. He is the one that died for our sin. He is the one that took our sin and gave us his righteousness. That transference took place. He took my bad and gave me his good. Because of him, I'm going to heaven. You're not going because you're a member of this church. You're not going because you're faithful to read the Word of God, to attend church, to pray, that you're a good person. And hopefully on the scale of life, your good outweighs your bad. It doesn't work that way. You actually have no good. There is no righteousness in you and I. There is no good. There's none good, the Bible said. No, not one. We've all gone out of the way. Thank God, though, that we can be saved when we accept him, his righteousness. Pilate said, I find no sin and no fault in him. Peter said, there's no sin in him. And I say, amen. The Hebrew writer said that he tasted sin for all of us, yet without sin. And thank God, he's the perfect Son of God, that when we trust, we become like him. Boy, I'm looking forward to that time when I won't be bothered by sin because of my Savior. I'm looking forward to that time that sin won't come in through temptation and desire and heartache in my life. I'm so looking forward to that. The Bible said this catching up involves a people and a person, but it involves a power too. Verse 16 that says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. That says it, amen, that even though they die, say, Brother Rudy, I've got a lot of loved ones, and some of us have more out there, over there, up there, than we do here. The Bible said they're going to rise first. Now, it's all in the twinkling of an eye. I've heard people say, well, I want to be standing at that graveside, and I want to see them. You won't see it. You're just not good enough. In the twinkling of an eye. is less than a 55,000th of a second, what they tell me. It's not the batting of the eye. It's the time the eye knows from the brain that it needs to bat the eye. The batting of the eye is too slow for what this word means. My goodness, what God is saying is that we're doing it together. You might as well say it. We might as well say we're getting up there together. I told a guy, there was a Southern Baptist. He came to the revival, and we was talking about going up and enjoying the things of heaven. I said, "Yeah, brother." I said, "You Southern Baptists, you'll beat us free will Baptists." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I've often thought that." He said, "In life." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, the dead in Christ shall rise first." I said, "You have no life in you." He laughed. He was a good friend of mine. He didn't get mad. Listen, God could care less about denomination. This blows my mind how people are depending on their denomination to get to heaven. You'll go to hell if you depend on Free Will Baptists. You'll go to hell if you depend on Southern Baptists or anything else. We do it because of Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness, I'm thankful that I'm here. I'm thankful that God has led me to this place. And I think if we believe it, we can go to heaven. But there's others going too, amen? Don't you think they're not? And we're going to be together forever. Anyway, that's another message. But listen, it involves a person, but it involves a power that, can you imagine the power that it took to create this world? Can you imagine the power it's going to take to pull out those that are in the grave? And those that are outside the grave, and God's going to put out that heavenly magnet of himself, and he's going to draw all the child of God. That's going to be great power, isn't it? But you will be raised. The Bible says so. Not only involves a place, but involves a leaving. Verse 17, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And it says to comfort you one another with these words. People say, "Brother Rudy, I don't like to read on prophecy and end times." I do. God actually commands us to. Why don't you? It tells us about his coming and about our leaving. Oh my goodness, you're missing actually a third of the Bible when you do that. You're cutting it out. I miss Brother Roger. I appreciate him having such a knowledge of the end times and being able to articulate it so well. I miss him terribly. And if he's listening to this, I don't know if he will or not, but if he's listening to this, I didn't say that because he'll get the big head. But oh my goodness, I can't understand. But the Bible talks about that. That we're going to leave one day. We'll leave sin behind. Can you say thank God? I don't know about you, but there's times that I just hate who I am. I hate what I do sometimes. Paul said the same thing. He said the things that I want to do, I sometimes don't do. The things that I don't want to do, sometimes I do it. And he said in Romans, he said, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" But then he said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord." See, we can't do it. He can. But the Bible says that we're going to be freed from sin. Free from sin. In Hebrews 12, it tells you and I, as a child of God, that we are to walk this world and do this race, compares it to a race, Paul does there, laying aside the sin and laying aside the weights that so easily beset us. And I was thinking about that the other day, and that just typifies a balloon that's filled with air, hydrogen. It'll lift you up. But they'll tie that balloon or that basket with ropes to the ground. And they'll put sandbags inside the basket to hold it down even more. Now those two things have different things that they do in relation to the balloon. You'll get in the balloon and you'll start undoing the ropes or cutting the ropes. And as you cut the ropes, you're freed. That's a sin that's so easy to beset us. God is saying, listen, you need to cut the ropes of sin, but thank God in heaven there's no sin. But as we get up into the air, We want to lighten it even more, and we'll take out those sandbags and we'll push them out one by one by one, and we'll get it just right. That is what God is saying in your life, in your Christian life right now. You need to cut the ropes of sin, the sin that so easily besets you, the sin that may be small things, but they're sin, they're wrong, they're leading you down the pike and down the way that you shouldn't go. And the Bible said also that you need to get rid of some good things. See, sandbags is a good thing. It holds the balloon where it should be. It regulates the height of the balloon. But too much sand will cause you to wreck. Too much weight in your Christian life will cause you to be less than what God wants you to be. And that which is good in your life will become bad because it's not the best that God wants for your life. See, the Bible says here that now we have sin. Now we see through a glass darkly. Now we can't see like we need to. But then we'll see him face to face. We'll know as he knows. And there will be no sin. Thank God there's a place of no sin. But the Bible says also that we'll leave sin behind, but we'll also leave sorrow behind. Revelation 21:4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for former things are passed away." Thank God there'll be no more sorrow. I am sick and tired of seeing people cry in a hospital. I'm sick and tired of seeing people hurt. You know what it is to be a pastor and to care about your people? My goodness. Carry their burdens and carry their heartaches. To have a little girl ask you, "Why did daddy die?" or "Why did mama die?" as I've had, and there's no answer to give. She don't understand. To be helpless, to be able to answer questions about the death of a loved one or the heartache that is coming in or cancer that has come to a good person. There's just no answer. To be at a funeral home and all you can do is stand. Thank God we can be there for them, but you can just stand. You can't offer nothing. You can't say nothing. There's nothing to say. I'm tired of that. I'm sick and tired of it. As a child of God, thank God we're going to leave all of it behind. And all the answers will be given. We'll know why we suffered. We'll know why God did what he did. And as the song says, he does everything right. He makes no mistakes, none. We can trust him. Oh God, do as you did with David. Take us through our fear. Take us through our anger. And Father, bring us to a place of faith in our lives. Because that's where we need to live. And the Bible says that we'll leave sorrow behind, but thank God we'll leave Satan behind too. Revelation 20:10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. His time is numbered. It's over. Mine's about to begin. He may have his way now. The demons may have their way now. But in the end, they'll receive their just reward. I know that. I feel that, but I've read it in the Word of God. It's true. This flying away also involves a landing. Verse 17 again, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Every departure leads to an arrival. Can you say amen? And God said, we're going to arrive in that place. Listen to about our new bodies, for our conversation or our lifestyle is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. I get to be around some teenage girls and watch them get ready. And they're finding every mirror they can in the house. And if it's a full mirror, boy, they love that. Not just the teenagers, the little six-year-old girl that I won't call her name. Oh my goodness. I watch them and they talk to themselves. Did you know that? Oh yeah. Oh, I need a little more. A little more. I just thank God. God made me a man. I'm perfect to start with. I don't need makeup, you know. I just love it. And they'll talk to each other. How does this look? Oh, it looks wonderful. What? Does this look good? I mean, one of these days we're going to be perfect, and I thank God for that. We're going to have new bodies. And as somebody said, I've got to say it, every barn needs a fresh paint on it every once in a while. Amen? I understand that. One of these days there's going to be no heartaches. There's not going to be any aches in our body, no pain, no memories that hurt us. Bible says new bodies, but also new buddies. I like that, don't you? Listen to what he said in Matthew chapter 8. He said, "I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and they shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." I've got to hurry. I've got to get to the message. I'm not to the message yet. But this is good thinking about, isn't it? Going to have some good buddies. I was thinking about, me and Jim was talking, going to bury him Monday, but he's not here. Why seek you the living among the dead? I think of yours, the ones that have passed away that I know of from this church here. I'm going to sit down with them again. I'm going to see them. I miss Brother Luther here. He's sick. He's not feeling well. Can't breathe. If time goes as expected, it won't be long for him. But it won't be long for you or me either. And we're going to be able to sit down with the Lord Jesus Christ, but sit down with everyone that is there. And what a joy that'll be. I want to leave something with you. God's going to send us new blessings, new buddies, new bodies. But I want you to go back with me very quickly to the book of Psalms, chapter 55. Look at the last part of the verse. You remember, David went through fear. He went through anger, fury, and he arrived at faith. That's what you've got to arrive at this morning. Right now, we don't live by sight. We live by faith. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 13 that faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is what? Because we don't need faith over there. We'll be living by sight. Hope, once you experience what you're hoping for, dies. The reason that love is the greatest is love will continue throughout eternity. The love of Jesus for his people and the love of his people for Jesus. That's why it's the greatest. Notice what David said here in verse 22. There's three reasons here why you should cast your cares upon God. I don't care what you're going through this morning. You should cast them on the Lord. I don't care what you're carrying in heartache or past experience. You've got to cast it on the Lord. I don't care what you are facing in the future. You don't know half of it, but he knows it all. He's already there. The Bible says here in verse 22 that he will never let you down. You need to remember that. You need to say that to yourself when you're faced with trials. God will not let me down. Verse 22 says, he will sustain you. He told us in 1 Corinthians that there's no temptation taking us, but that which is common to men. And the Bible says there that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you will bear, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. You can have faith. We must have faith. How do we have faith? We get in the Word of God. We study the Word of God. We read the Word of God. We allow it to permeate our lives and change our lives. The Bible says that God will not let you down. But then David said that God will always lift you up. Verse 22. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. God's got you. Look to your neighbor and say, God's got you. He'll never let you down. He's in the process of lifting you up. You may not be there yet, but he will, I promise you. He's the answer of all prayers. He will always lift you up. Peter found that out, didn't he? At least he did get out of the ship and walk on the water. But then when he saw the boisterous sea, he began to seek. Lord, save me. That's what we ask. Lord, save me. Help me. Deliver me. And the Bible said the Lord was right there and lifted him up. And God will do you the same way. Notice what he said thirdly and lastly. Not only will he never let you down, he'll always lift you up, but we can always trust him. I want you to say from your heart, God, I trust in you. I trust in you. Look at your heartache. Look at your circumstance. No matter what the doctor has said, it doesn't matter what society is saying. God, I trust you. He said in verse 23, I will trust in thee. That's David's final testimony. As you stand today and heads bowed, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that God will never let you down? He makes no mistakes. You can trust him. And that God is always in the process of lifting you up, but you have to let him. You have to reach his. Peter said, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. I promise you he will. I promise you he will. Lord, I want to trust you. If Donna would come and just play just as I am, without one plea, just quickly. Do you have a need to come to this altar today? I was going to ask you to pray where you're at, and you can do that. But there's times that we need to come to an altar, and we need to kneel down, and others kneel around us. It's biblical. It's right to do that. Whatever you're going through today, I don't care what it is, God will not let you down. He wants to lift you up, but you're going to have to ask Him, not be ashamed of Him. Do you need to come and say, Lord, I trust You in this? I trust You in what they're saying. I trust You in my fear. I trust You in the anger that I have toward someone or something or even God. Lord, I'm giving it to You. I've had it long enough. Is there one? Yes, there's a struggle. I know that. Read that chapter and you'll find David struggled. His very best friend and counselor betrayed him and went to Absalom. That was bad enough. But your beloved son, the son you trusted, the son that you were so proud of, turn against you in the way that he did. After verse 8, David left everything that was certain in his life except God. Where are you at this morning in your journey? I'll assure you, God will not let you down. He hasn't. I'll assure you, if you'll come through that fear and that anger, that you'll get to faith. He's lifting you up right now. Thank Him for it. Say, I thank You, Lord, for lifting me up. I thank You for always being there, forgiving me, helping me, strengthening me. And dear God, I trust You. With everything I have, I trust You. Father, we come to You in Jesus' precious name today. We all have hurts. Some have broken hearts. Some have memories that destroy their peace at times. God, some have even come to the place, as I have in my life, and become angry at You. You realize we're dust. You realize we don't understand. And You're a Heavenly Father that never leaves nor forsakes. You're a Heavenly Father that loves and embraces. Father, we pray that You would help us. Lord, save us. We trust in You. We trust in You, though it's dark and painful, though it's uncertain. We trust in You for not only the past and the present, but for the future. You're already there. You've already got it under Your control. You're sovereign. And toward us, You're provincial. You provide. We give You praise and we give You honor. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed, who could raise your hand? And God will see that and say, God, help me. God, save me. Deliver me. God, bless those hands. God sees it. Thank Him for it. Father, thank You for helping us. Thank You for delivering us. Thank You for providing that faith to believe, that strength to go on. We praise You for that. In Jesus' precious name, we love You, Jesus. Can everybody say, praise the Lord? God is good, isn't He? God is good. I'm going to fly away one of these days.